Okay, well, you probably already know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to add a little bit to it tonight. I'm going to say, turn with me, if you will, to the beginning of a brand new book. As a matter of fact, the last book in the set of five that make up the Torah, of the books of Moses. This one is a bit different because it is, in fact, Moses essentially telling the story in the first person, and it's often referred to as kind of a retelling of the story as well. So that's where the root of the word Deuteronomy in English comes from. So, yeah, turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy, or in the Hebrew, Devarim, chapter 1. And in this case, I like Devarim, the Hebrew rendering, better. It is the name of the Parsha, and it is the name of the book. That's always the case when it is the first book in a first Parsha in a new book. But in fact, in this case, it's the words that are interesting, and of course that's what it says. It says, these are the words, Ha Devarim, which Moshe spoke unto all Israel, and then it's going to tell us where. But the key, of course, is the word Devarim is plural. It means the words. That's exactly what he spoke, and that's exactly what the book's name in Hebrew means, the words. So it says, these are the words, and he spoke them unto all Israel, Kol Israel, beyond the Jordan, in the wilderness, Bamidbar, in the Arabah, over against Suf, between Paran and Tophel, and Lavan, and Hazarot, and Dizahav. And here's one of those other places where the plains of Moab and the sages suggest some of these may not be real places, and they have perhaps other interesting meanings. But they're a kind of a summary, in a way. And beyond that, we'll just come back, because the whole book, actually, is a summary. Moses is going to start off here by summarizing their journey up until this point. He's going to summarize some of the other commandments. There are a few things that we may not have heard before that are going to be in here, but by and large, the reason I usually introduce the book this way is that Devarim is considered by many, and that would be the kind of the general statement of most sages, I think, because it is a summary of the whole Torah. To be exactly that, not only a summary of the whole Torah, but it is in American history, it is the most quoted book, period. And that includes all of the other books that you may have heard of, Common Sense, and the writings of people like Lord Acton and so forth, Blackstone's commentaries, lots and lots of quotations that were used during the time of the Committees of Correspondence. But Deuteronomy in particular, certainly Scripture, but this book especially, was quoted far and away more than any of the others. And as I like to point out, if you go through the Constitution, you'll see so many places where it's right smack out of Devarim, out of Deuteronomy, are things that are put into the, well, first the English common law, and then, of course, by incorporation into the U.S. Constitution back when we had it. So it is, in fact, the root of so much of what really, literally is law, even though it's instruction, and we're going to get to that, too. All right, he says this, and this is almost like a little bit of a painful reminder. It's 11 days' journey from Horeb unto Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. All right, in other words, the short way to get from where we left to where we were supposed to be heading originally takes 11 days, not 40 years. So, verse 4 tells us, and Moshe tells us, it came to pass in the 40th year in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke unto the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, according to all that Yahuwah had given him in commandment unto them. And this was after, it says, he had smitten Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, remember the big dude, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth at Edrei, beyond the Jordan in the land of Moab. So Moses took it upon himself to expound this instruction. Of course, the Hebrew word there is HaTorah. And this book is called, literally, the Book of Instruction, the Book of HaTorah. You'll hear it called the Law of Moses, and as you know, I'm not wild about that, because that is at the root. Not that it's wrong, it's not a horrible mistranslation, but the way it's been twisted is a horrible abuse of the whole concept, calling it the Law of Moses, when in fact it's instruction, and it therefore is so much bigger than just law, just statutes and judgments and commandments, that that does it a major disservice. All right. Yahuwah our El, he says, spoke to us in Horeb, and he said, you dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn, take your journey. Go up on into the hill country, the Amorites, and all the places nigh unto there, into the Arabah, the hill country, the lowlands in the south, by the seashore, the land of the Canaanites, and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, he says, I have given, natan is the root word there. Some English Bibles say, I have set the land before you, but it literally is, I've given it. Go in and possess the land which Yahuwah swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. Now, what's interesting here is he uses the past tense. It's a done deal. I have given the land. And I spoke unto you, this is again, remember, Moshe speaking, not the words in red, these are words of Moshe, unto you at that time, and I said, you know, I just can't handle it. I'm not able to bear you myself alone. Yahuwah Yireel has multiplied you. Behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude, a lot of you. Yahuwah Elohim of your fathers make you 1,000 times as many more as you already are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I myself alone bear your cumbrance and your burden and your strife? So get you from each one of your tribes wise men and understanding, full of knowledge, and I'll make them heads over you. So he's describing what actually came as a suggestion from his father-in-law, Yitro, in the portion by that name. And it's about delegation of authority. You answered me, and y'all said, that thing which you've spoken is good for us to do. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise men, full of knowledge, made them heads over you. Captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, and captains of tens and officers, tribe by tribe. And I charged your judges, Shoftim at that time, said, hear the causes now between your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his neighbor, a man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. In other words, not like you see in New York City and all kinds of places today where we don't have justice or judges anymore. You shall not, in fact, do that. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not be afraid of the face of any man, not even the almighty Department of Justice head, Merrick Garland. Nope, even people that basically, well, if the point here following is the following, folks. You look, and I can't help but see what Moses is saying they were supposed to have set up. See what we once had, or at least we're supposed to have had, what we aspired to, and see what is now replaced it, and ask yourself, for crying out loud, how come judgment hasn't already befallen a nation that has fallen this far from his word? You shall hear the small and the great alike. You'll not be afraid of the face of any man, because judgment belongs to Elohim. Well, not here. And because it's too hard for you, you bring it to me, and I'll hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. So remember, this is a summary. We journeyed from Horeb, went through all that great and dreadful wilderness which you saw, by way of the hill country, the Amorites, as Yahuwah our Elohim commanded us. We came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you've come to the hill country of the Amorites, which Yahuwah your El is giving to us. Giveth to us is the old English there. So it was an action at that point. Behold, Yahuwah your El has set the land before you. Go up, take possession. As Yahuwah, the Elohim of your fathers, has spoken unto you, fear not, kazak, neither be dismayed. So, you came to me, every one of you, and said, let's send men before us, so they can spy out the land for us, bring us back word of the way by which we need to go up, and the cities that we'll come into. And that thing sounded pretty good. It pleased me well, said Moshe. So I took 12 men of you, one man from every tribe. And they turned up, and they went to the mountains. They came to that valley of Eshcol. And they checked it out. They spied it out. Tur is the Hebrew word there, of course. They were tourists. They took the fruit of the land in their hands. They brought it down to us. And they brought back word. And they said, yep, this is good land, which Yahuwah has given us. But still, you, he says, wouldn't go up. But you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah your El. You murmured in your tents. And you said, because Yahuwah hated us, he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us under the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So, think about this. What he's saying is kind of blunt, and in a way, it's shocking and shameful. You wouldn't listen, and instead of saying that Yahuwah El Arel brought us out by a mighty hand because he loved us and because he did what he promised, it's no, he hated us. Sounds like something we hear on CNN today, doesn't it? Taking things that are good and turning them into evil and vice versa. Why are we going to go up? Our brethren have made our heart to melt. Oh yeah, they brought back that bad report. And he said, these people are greater, they're taller than we are. Cities great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we've seen the sons of the Anakim there, the real giants. And then Moses said, I said to you, dread not, don't be afraid of them. Yahuwah your El, who goes before you, he's the one that'll fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt. You saw it. He did it before your own eyes. And Bamidbar in the wilderness, where you've seen how Yahuwah your El bore you, like a man bears his son. All the way that you went till you came unto this place. Yet, in this thing, you do not believe Yahuwah Yireh. Now, what I think is interesting about this is notice the tense here as well. It's present tense. The people who made that, well, literally deadly mistake and accepted the bad report from the spies, and then each of them whined at their tents, every one of them, every last one, save the two that he's going to mention here in a second, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. And now he uses the present tense. These are the sons. You do not believe Yahuwah, who went before you in the way to seek you out a place to pitch your tents, fire by night to show you what way you should go, and in a cloud by day. And Yahuwah heard the voice of your words, and he was pretty well PO'd, as you may recall, and he swore, saying, surely not one of these men, even this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give to your fathers, except those two. Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he has trodden upon, and to his children, because he has wholly followed Yahuwah. And as Yahuwah was angry with me for your sake, saying, you shall not go in that way, there's Joshua, son of Nun, who stands before you. He shall go in there. Encourage you him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones that you shed would be a prey, and your children that this day have no knowledge of good or evil. That's interesting. Harkens back to the garden, if you remember the terminology, right? To this day they have no knowledge of good or evil. They shall go in there, and also unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn, and take your journey into the wilderness by way of the Sea of Reeds. And y'all answered, and you said to me, oh, no, no, we have sinned against Yahuwah. We'll go up and fight, now that it's too late. We'll go up and fight according to all that Yahuwah, our God, has commanded us. And every man girded on his weapons of war, and they deemed it a light thing to go heading up into the hill country. Yeah, this is easy. We should have done it. Now we're going to go do it. So I spoke unto you, and you didn't listen, and you rebelled against the commandment of Yahuwah, and you were presumptuous, and you went on up into the hill country, and the Amorites that dwell there in the hill country came out against you, and they chased you like bees do, and they beat you down in Seir, even unto Hormah. And now you returned, and you wept before Yahuwah, but Yahuwah didn't hearken to your voice, nor did he give ear to you, right? He told you. So, you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there. So, you stayed there for quite a while, and I guess licked your wounds is the bottom line. Then it says, this is the continuing story Moshe is relating. We turned. We took our journey into the wilderness by way to the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, as Yahuwah spoke unto me. And we compassed Mount Seir many days. Then Yahuwah spoke to me, and he said, you've compassed this mountain long enough. Turn back northward. Command the people, and say to them, you are to pass through the border of your brethren, the children of Esau. Right? Esau is Yaakov's brother. They dwell in Seir. They'll be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Do not fight with them. Do not contend with them, because I am not going to give you their land. Nope, not so much as the sole of your foot to tread on, because I've given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall purchase food from them for silver, kesef, so that you can eat. And you shall also buy water of them for silver, that you might drink. And it's rendered in some English versions as money, folks, but money is silver. They are synonyms. So they're going to use silver to purchase food and water as they go through the land of the Edomites. For Yahuwah your El has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He has known you're walking through the great wilderness. These 40 years Yahuwah your El has been with you. You've lacked for nothing. So, this is Moshe continuing. We passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, that dwell in Seir, from the way of the Arabah unto Elat, and from Etzion Geber. And we turned and we passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. And Yahuwah then said to me, Be not at enmity with Moab either. Don't contend with them in battle, for I will not give you of his land for possession either. Because I've given Ar, this is the Moabite place, unto the children of Lot. Remember Lot via his two daughters, for a possession. The Emim dwelt therein before times, in other words, long ago. These were people great, many, and tall, like the Anakim. In other words, they are descendants, folks, of the Rephaim. That's what it's going to say in the next verse. It says they're counted among the Rephaim, just like the Anakim are. But the Moabites, they called them Emim. And in Seir dwelt the Horites before time. But the children of Esau succeeded them. They destroyed them from before them. So just as you're going to drive out some folks, that is what Esau's sons did. They dwelt in their stead as Israel did in the land of his possession, which Yahuwah gave unto them. So now, rise up, get yourself over the brook Zered. So we went. We went over the brook Zered. And in the days in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, till we were come over that brook Zered, were 38 years. Until all that generation, the men of war, in other words, the men over 20 years of age, all of them were consumed from the midst of the camp, as Yahuwah swore unto them. Moreover, the hand of Yahuwah was against them, to discomfort them from the midst of the camp, until ultimately they were all consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war had been consumed, and dead from among the people, that Yahuwah spoke unto me. And he says, you are this day to pass over the border of Moab, even Ar. And when you come nigh over against the children of Ammon, do not harass them, nor contend with them, because I am not going to give of their land for the children of Ammon for a possession, because I've given it to Lot's children for a possession. That also is accounted the land of the Rephaim. Rephaim dwelt there aforetime. Ammonites call these folks Zamzumim. They are a people great, many, and tall, like the Anakim. But Yahuwah destroyed them from before those folks, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead. So it's a pattern here that he's saying has been repeated for. You're going to do the same thing. Just as he did for the children of Esau that dwell in Seir when he destroyed the Horites from before them, and they succeeded him and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avim that dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim, they came forth out of Kaphtor, destroyed them, they dwelt in their stead. Rise up, therefore, take your journey, pass over the valley of Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Now this, remember, at this point is he's recounting the history. So this day, he said, then will I begin to put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the peoples that are under the whole of Hashemayim, the heavens, who, when they hear the report of you, will tremble, and they'll be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers out to the wilderness of Kedemot unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. Here's what I said. Let me pass through your land. I'll go along the highway. It won't turn to the right hand or to the left hand. You can sell me food for silver that I can eat. Give me water for silver for money that I may drink. Just let me pass through on my feet. As children of Esau that dwelt in Seir and the Moabites that dwelt in Ar did unto me, till I pass over the Jordan into the land which Yahuwah is giving us. Sounds reasonable. But no, Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For Yahuwah Yirel hardened his spirit. Ha-kashah. It's an interesting, a slightly different word than we're used to hearing, not ruach in this case. Made his heart obstinate. Okay, we've seen the lev that's been hardened before, or made stubborn, so that he might deliver him unto your hand, as appears this day. And Yahuwah then said unto me, behold, I've begun to deliver up Sihon and his land before you, so begin to possess it. So Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, into battle at Yahaz, and Yahuwah Aurel delivered him up before us. And we smote him and his sons and all of his people. We took all of his cities at that time and utterly destroyed. Now listen to this, remember, utterly destroyed every city, the men and the women and the little ones. We left none remaining. Only the cattle we took for a prey or spoil unto ourselves with the spoil of the cities which we'd taken. From Aroer on the edge of the valley of Arnon and from the city that's in the valley even unto Gilead, there was not a city that was too high for us. Yahuwah Arel delivered all of them up before us. Only to the land of the children of Ammon you came not near. All the side of the river Yabbok and the cities of the hill country and wheresoever Yahuwah Arel forbade us. In other words, the places he said leave alone, we did. But the rest of them, we took. Then we turned. We went up the way towards Bashan, and Og, yeah, that big dude, king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all of his people, unto battle at Edrei. And Yahuwah said to me, fear him not, because I've delivered him and all his people and his land into your hand. And you will do unto him just like you did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So Yahuwah Arel delivered into our hand Og also, king of Bashan, and all his people, and we smote him until no one was left to him remaining. We took all his cities at that time. There was not a city which we didn't take from them. 120 cities. No, a score is 20. All the region of Argob, the kingdom of Og in Bashan. So they took all of his cities. Fortified cities, high walls, gates, and bars. And in addition to the unwalled towns, there were a whole lot of those too. And we utterly destroyed them. as we did Sihon, king of Heshbon, utterly destroying every city, the men and the women and the little ones. But all the cattle again and the spoil of the cities we took for a prey unto ourselves. We took the land at that time out of the hand of the two kings of the Amorites beyond the Jordan, from the valley of Arnon unto Mount Hermon, which Hermon the Sidonians call Syrian, and the Amorites call it Seir. All the cities of the plain, all the Gilead, Bashan, unto Saleah and Edrei, all the cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan. Now, and this is interesting too. The sages say at this point Og may have been 500 years old, and it's an interesting claim. Og, king of Bashan, he alone remained of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, remember, we've heard this before, but here is a place where we get the numbers. His bedstead was a bedstead made out of iron, is it not, in Rabbah of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof. So a cubit, foot and a half, that's about 14 and a half feet or so. It's a long bed, folks. 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. This land we took in possession at that time from Aroer, which is by the valley of Arnon, and half the hill country of Gilead, the cities thereof. I remember we gave that to the Reubenites and the Gadites. The rest of Gilead, all of Bashan, the kingdom of Og, I gave that to the half-tribe of Manasseh, he says, the region of Argob. All that Bashan had is called the land of Rephaim. Yair, the son of Manasseh, took all the region of Argob to the border of the Geshurites and the Maacathites, and he called them, even Bashan, after his own name, Havot Yair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Machir. So this is a repetition as well of what we saw at the end of the literal first four books of the Torah. Unto the Reubenites and the Gadites, I gave from Gilead to the valley of Arnon, the middle of the valley for a border, and the river Yabbok, which is the border of the Ammonites, the children of Ammon. And Arabah also, the Jordan is the border there, from Chinneret even unto the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, under the slopes of Pisgah eastward. And I commanded you at that time. Remember, he is going to repeat this part of the story too. You guys, you want this land, you better continue to do what you promised. And you said, or I commanded you, saying, Yehovah Yireh has given you this land to possess it, yet you shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all the men of valor. So they went at the head of the pack. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle, I know you got a lot of cattle, they will abide in the cities which I have given you, until Yahuwah gives rest unto your brethren, in other words, till everybody gets their land, and you, and they possess the land which Yahuwah your El is giving them on the other side of the Jordan, then shall you return every man unto his possession which I have given you. And here then comes the last couple verses of the portion. Again, this is a second telling, Deuteronomy, and it's going to end with this. I commanded Joshua, says Moshe at that time, and said, your eyes have seen all that Yahuwah your El has done unto these two kings. So shall it be. So shall Yahuwah do unto all of the kingdoms that you're going over to possess. And here comes the Kazakh, the be strong and of good courage. You shall not fear them, for Yahuwah your El, he is the one that fights for you. He is he who fights for you.